The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Unrest and anger continue in India over the rape and murder of a 31-year-old postgraduate trainee at a government-run hospital. The widespread protests have taken place, resulting in staff shortages in hospitals. And now the Supreme Court has set up a task force to formulate a national protocol to ensure the safety of healthcare workers right across the country. I'm joined by Rahul Bedi, senior freelance journalist based in Delhi. Rahul, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you bring us back to the beginning of this story, the rape of a trainee postgraduate student in a state-run hospital? What were the circumstances?
Well, this doctor, she was on duty for about 36 hours and not having any restroom or anything to retire to, she took refuge in a seminar hall in this hospital in Kolkata. And subsequent to that, she was not only raped, but brutally murdered. And the autopsy report shows that she suffered about 16 internal and external injuries, which resulted in her death. And thereafter, the hospital authorities, for some unknown reason, tried to pass this off as a suicide and were very reticent about registering a murder case. But once news spread of her death, the hospital doctors went on strike. But that was not all, because a day or so later, about 36 hours later, a 7,000-strong crowd stormed the hospital armed with the iron rod, sticks, bricks. And they just vandalized not only the hospital and the emergency services, but also large parts of the crime scene, thereby compromising the forensics of it. So this is all a very shabby and a very horrific incident. And as you said, the Supreme Court has taken note of it and set up a task force to ensure safety for doctors across the country, especially in government-run hospitals.
What is the particular problem with government-run hospitals and most pointedly, I suppose, this particular hospital, the R.G. Carr facility?
Well, the R.G. Carr facility is really, it's no different to any other government hospital anywhere across India, which are overloaded, they're crowded, the outpatients department every day in any hospital anywhere in the country has thousands and thousands of people overwhelming the facilities that are located there. But the doctors, sometimes they work 36, sometimes 40-hour shifts, and after which they have no places to rest. And often, whilst they are on duty examining patients, they are threatened by the patients or the patient's relatives to give them preferential treatment. So it's really a case of being subsumed by numbers. I mean, don't forget, India has a population of 1.4 billion. And if you extrapolate that over about 70,000 odd hospitals across the country, it puts a huge, huge burden on government hospitals that have actually provide free treatment.
How vulnerable are the women? Because it seems that from the statistics, 60% of India's doctors are female.
Yes, women are very vulnerable, not only in the medical profession, but everywhere else. I mean, there are alarming statistics of the number of rapes that take place in India, which is roughly about 8 a minute. if you extrapolate that again onto the female doctors and the nurses and the female medical staff, it paints a very alarming and a horrific picture. And hopefully the Supreme Court's intervention may result in some change, but I'm very skeptical whether it actually will.
Now, these hospitals, I presume a few of them are new, but many of them will be, I suppose, historic hospitals, been around for a long time. And the female medical staffs have been complaining about having sometimes no dedicated toilets for females, sometimes having no places to change and having to use other rooms, and using even their female colleagues to guard the doors of these rooms while they were changing because the doors couldn't be locked.
Exactly. In fact, it's a lot worse than this because the vulnerability of females in these conditions are unimaginable, and a lot of them, a lot of the cases go unreported for a variety of reasons. And in fact, even in this instance, the hospital authorities, for inexplicable reasons, were trying to pass this off as a suicide. And it seems that the Supreme Court has come up with the state government and the local police, who obviously were trying to shield somebody or the other in this case. And they've asked the investigating authorities, which is the federal police, to submit a report by Thursday, which is day after tomorrow. So let's see what transpires from that report.
Now, have the police got a suspect in custody?
The police have one suspect in custody. He is a slightly deranged person who actually worked as a volunteer with the police force. And since it was a government hospital, a lot of police people were also treated at this hospital. So this guy was a kind of a liaison between the local police and the hospital. And he had a very questionable history. He was, to put it very bluntly, he was also known for necrophilic activities. And nobody really checked his credentials before he was employed in this very sensitive post.
So he was indulging in sexual activity with corpses, with dead people.
That's what it seems. Some of the reports have indicated that he was a necrophiliac, and he had a very questionable. He was a very disturbed individual, and he is one person who's been arrested. But forensic evidence seems to indicate that this girl was gang raped. I'm not going to go into the horrific details, but it seems that she was gang raped, and there were 16 very serious injuries, internal and external, to her body. And eventually she was asphyxiated, she was choked to death, but a lot of her limbs were damaged, and as were a lot of her insides.
Now, the head of this hospital is also described as a pretty dodgy character.
Very dodgy. In fact, he tried to persuade, he tried to persuade the parents to take the body in India. Most people are cremated, they're not buried. So he tried to hasten the cremation of this girl so that the evidence would disappear. The forensics that was carried out, a lot of senior doctors have questioned the forensic report, which they say is very misleading and very amateurish. And also the doctor resigned within a few hours of this incident happening. But then the state government appointed him principal of another very prestigious medical college in the city. And he was not available for questioning by the police. But now the federal police are questioning him. And his dodginess is slowly appearing in media reports.
Now, the protests, which obviously were at their strongest, I suppose, in the immediate aftermath of just the discovery that this was a murder and rape, have those protests continued?
The protests officially by the Indian Medical Association, which is the largest guild of doctors in India, that officially got over on Sunday morning, which is day before yesterday. But a lot of the doctors are continuing to sit in protests across the country, including in New Delhi and, of course, in Calcutta. So the protests are continuing. Maybe after the Supreme Court has also appealed to the doctors, they've said that, please trust us, we are doing our best, and please go back to work. But it remains to be seen whether they will actually put their faith in the Supreme Court and call off their strike.
Now, you mentioned how overwhelmed the hospitals are normally, but in the middle of a strike, the withdrawal of labour by doctors, this must have made the problems even more acute and the overcrowding even more intense.
Yes, it's exacerbated the problem immensely, in fact, exponentially. And I mean, it's just unbelievable to go to a government hospital and just see the crowds there. It's unbelievable. I mean, I think for somebody sitting in Dublin, it would be unthinkable of the kind of humanity that subsumes these hospitals on a daily basis, on an hourly basis.
Rahul Bedi, freelance journalist based in New Delhi, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And if any of our listeners are affected by anything you've heard in the item, you can contact the free phone 24-hour national helpline at the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. It's 1-800-77-8888.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.